Hi, welcome to this group meeting, and this is John Gabriel, and we've got a number of things I want to cover on the show, so I'm going to try to move kind of quickly, and we've got also some coaches on. We've got Coach Brian and Desiree and Smita are going to be talking to us, and but if you have any questions for us, you want to press 1. And that way we know you're in the call, and that way someone will screen you, Shannon or Aaron will screen you, and we'll get you in the queue. So if you want to ask any questions, you want to talk to us, press 1. So I want to start with a lady who's in the case study. She's got a very inspiring story. She's calling all the way from South Africa. Her name's Jill Hogan, and she's just listening to her story is just so beautiful. And so if we could put Jill on. And
hello, John.
We'll have a quick chat with her. Jill, are you there?
Yes. Hello, John.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thank you. And how are you today?
I'm excellent. Really good.
Good.
It's a beautiful day over here. The sun's just going down and perfect temperature. And I'm wondering if you could tell us and all our listeners a little bit about your story, please.
Yes. John, I had a very traumatic childhood in early years. So I put on weight very early. I was about 8 years old when I started putting on weight. And it just got progressively worse, you know, as I've got older. But about 4 years ago, I was facilitating a winter solstice weekend. And we were doing Qigong in the vineyards, surrounded by beautiful mountains. And the awareness just came to me, you don't need to carry this weight anymore. It's not serving a purpose anymore.
Yeah.
And it was so strong, but I didn't know how to start losing weight. And it took me 2 years to discover you and your method.
Hmm.
And since then, I've lost about 35 Ks.
Right, which is about 85, 90 pounds. Is that right? That's amazing. That's great.
Yes. Yes, and but also one of the side effects of it is that I've lost all my fear.
Yeah.
And I just feel great, and I seem to be able to cope with all sorts of things that I couldn't before. And the months that we did in the case study, the Reduce Your Stress, was an extraordinary month. I live on the edge of a village the edge of the village in McGregor. And a couple of drug addicts and alcoholics started stealing stuff from me.
Mm.
So I was sort of like under siege. And then someone broke my front door in, and it was just a constant test the universe threw everything at me. And to add to that, I've built a natural house, a cob house, and I got termites in the roof. So it was everything tested me on stress. And the amazing thing is, John, that I coped with everything and felt totally unstressed.
Yeah, well, I always say that stress is, there's two parts to stress. There's one that's what's going on in the outside, and the other is what's going on in between your ears. And you can't always control what's going on the outside, but you definitely can control what's going on in between your ears. And control might be the wrong word, but you can reprogram, rewire your circuitry so that you don't have the same type of stress responses. And, you know, when you say that you had a traumatic childhood and that's when you started putting on weight, if we have a chance later on in this show, I'm going to be talking about a lot of research that I've been doing recently about the fat programs. And it turns out that what's called chronic low-grade inflammation that's triggered by certain hormones in your body, which are called pro-inflammatory cytokines. So the hormones that get activated when you're experiencing inflammation, these hormones activate your fat programs in a very, very tangible way. And I'll talk about it later in the show if we have time. But it's basically they've nailed it down to just a switch in your brain, which is an enzyme in a certain part of your brain. Now, it's triggered by inflammation and inflammatory hormones. And I was doing research on this, and I said, well, I want to see what the research is around chronic stress, emotional trauma, and these inflammatory hormones. And it turns out that the research is very well documented that emotional trauma, stress, activates these pro-inflammatory cytokines. So it acts like it's not if it happens once or twice, but if it's a chronic type of thing and it's low grade, it very much activates your fat programs. It's just like a switch. So really, when you're saying that you were living in fear, that you were having trauma and all these things, and then it went away, and now you're not experiencing fear and the weight went away, that doesn't surprise me at all. It's very, very, it's very chemical. You know, for years we talk about, I've talked to people who are having emotional problems and they sit there and they go, you know, I don't know why I'm sabotaging myself. My body's out to get me. It has nothing to do with that. It's very, very chemical. And so that really, really doesn't surprise me at all. And it's interesting, you know, that you say 4 years ago you were in this Qigong and you had this voice that says you don't need the weight anymore. Because I think that I definitely had that experience where I felt like I just don't need this weight anymore. And when I had that experience, I knew I was going to lose the weight. Was that sort of when you had that experience, you knew that there was going to be a certain point, you don't know how, but you knew you were going to lose the weight?
I knew, and it was very definite. And
yeah.
This weekend confirmed it. It was my daughter-in-law's 40th birthday, so we all went away for the weekend. And John, all the snacks were junk food and chips and crisps. And I didn't even once feel that I wanted to pick one up and eat it. And I watched it for a day and a half and everyone consuming these things. And I went into the kitchen and I made snacks with cucumbers and avos and all sorts of tomatoes and all sorts of things. Put them on the table and everyone left all the chips and all the real junk food and mixing the snacks were gone. But
they went in for years, huh?
Yeah. Yes. It was just interesting that at no point did I feel motivated to even pick up one.
Yeah. You know, last week I spoke to a case study member who's feeling frustrated right now because she's just starting her journey and it hasn't quite happened for her. And she's just said to me, you know, don't you ever crave, you know, chocolate cake or junk food? And I had to say to her, look, it's been 8 years and maybe 10. I really never crave it. I just don't. Whereas before I did all the time, and it's not that I have willpower now, it's just the mechanics. But when I look back at my life, I was, just like you, I was in chronic fear. I was in chronic stress all the time, day and night. I mean, it was totally chronic, and now I feel totally safe. Like, maybe it's part of it is the outside circumstances of my life are much better, but maybe the outside circumstances in my life are a reflection also of what's going on inside. But there's just this feeling of safety and security that can only come, in my opinion, from the type of work that we're doing, which is the daily type of visualizations. They really do rewire your brain circuitry. So, and I'm just curious, you know, how did it happen for you? Like, how did you get to this place where you just don't have the same fear anymore, and all the changes in your chemistry took, that came as a result of that?
Well, you know, I'm very strict on doing the visualizations daily.
Yeah.
John, just to digress, you know, I have the McGregor Alternative Technology Center, and it's based on, we teach natural building, renewable energy, permaculture, and holistic healing.
Yeah.
And I started this whole center with one bare piece of land and 500 rand. And the whole thing has come about through visualization. So I understand the principle of visualizing and meditating. So this is what I'm doing with my weight now. That's a continuation of my whole project, is to be able to say, well, it does work, you know, follow it and do it. And
That's why I'm so, you know, I'm so religious, for lack of a better word, about doing daily visualization and trying to convince people to follow me in that regard, because on so many different levels, not only does it change your brain chemistry so you feel safer, so you lose weight, your brain gets so much more powerful, your concentration gets so much more powerful that you can then use that power to create the types of things that you're creating, the miracles that you're creating. And I know that you're a cancer survivor, is that right?
I am a cancer survivor, and that too was learning not to fight the cancer, was to befriend it and see myself whole. And here I am today.
It's interesting that you say that. Are you familiar with Chris Carr's work?
I love her work.
The author Crazy Sexy Cancer, when I interviewed her, she said the exact same thing. She said the turning point for her was this place of self-acceptance. And I just did a video blog about that, about self-acceptance and just coming to this place of self-acceptance. She just said that she accepted the cancer. She accepted it as part of her. I had to come to that place with my weight where I just accepted my weight. So that is a powerful place. It's a powerful place for transformation. And one day I'm going to just, I might even write a book on the anatomy of transformation. And I think there's specific steps to it. Just like they've mapped out the steps to grieving. You know, when you've lost someone, there's the denial, there's the anger, there's five different steps, and then you get to acceptance. I'm pretty sure you can map out the steps of transformation, and one of them is self-acceptance. So these are big, big Gabriel Method principles that you're espousing when you talk about self-acceptance, visualization, feeling safer, and you're just, you know, you're a living testimony to them.
Yes, thank you. I still have a fair amount to lose.
Okay.
I'm quite confident that it's not a stress anymore. It's a journey, which is quite exciting.
Yeah. Beautiful. I have no doubt that you'll be successful. So,
yes.
Jill, thank you so much for coming on the call and sharing your story with us. And I really appreciate it. And let's keep in touch and make sure you call me. And everybody listening too, you know, during my office hours, make sure you call. Let's talk one-on-one and let's keep going, because I want to do everything I can. Although I don't think you're going to need any help at all, I still want to do everything I can to ensure that you're going to be as successful as possible. So,
bless you, John. And thank you for all the work you do. And the hope you give us. Thank you, John.
My pleasure.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Okay. Take care. All right, let's just touch base real quickly with some of the coaches. And once again, anyone listening, if you do have questions, you call in. You have to press 1. Otherwise, we don't know you're there. But let's bring Brian in. Coach Brian. Brian, you there?
G'day, John.
Hey, how you doing, mate?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, real good. Real good. What's happening over there?
Well, it's pouring with rain, so I've had to come outside. So I apologize if I break up a little bit, but I couldn't get reception inside, so I've come outside. So, yeah, I just want to take a couple of minutes, if I may. First up, I just want to say, thanks to everyone that's doing the support, who's in this case study. It's just great, the enthusiasm and motivation that all of us coaches receive back from the people we're looking after. We chat regularly every Wednesday, and just the vibe is great. So we really appreciate that, and thanks for everyone for getting involved. One of the common themes, John, that I get, back to me when I'm coaching people, I just want to address just real quickly and see if I can, change people's point of view a little bit. Maybe is that a lot of people, doubt their potential for change. It's sort of like so-and-so can do it, but, I can't do it, or that works for them, but it's not necessarily going to work for me. And just one of the things that I learned, very early in life, is that, each and every one of us has, the potential really to completely transform ourselves. And now, with science now just proving that we can, and I just want to run this past the listeners and just see if this, validates it for them. Have I got a minute? Is that okay if I just run through this?
Yeah, absolutely, Brian.
All right. Okay, guys, just listen up and just see if this, hits home to you. So just think of yourself, okay? So you're made up of 50 to 100 trillion cells, 50 to 100 trillion, sort of somewhere in between there. Now, each one of these cells, except those of your brain and your nervous system, every one of them is constantly renewing themselves. So the lining of your lungs, for instance, is 6 weeks old. Your taste buds, they're about 10 days old. Your intestinal wall, so you know your intestinal wall where you absorb your nutrients, they're only like 2 to 3 days old, those cells. So you know, continually your body is regenerating the cells that make yourself up. Now, you're in complete control of the health and the function of each of these new cells. So each of these cells is bathed in an environment. So, and that environment is your blood. Now, your cells, in particular, you know, your cell membrane is the bit that interacts with your environment. So if you can put into yourself, like, you know, there's a statement that I often use, you know, you are what you eat, drink, and what you think. And that's, you know, very much fact and very much proven, you know, scientifically. So we've got the potential to influence each one of those and therefore influence the health of every one of the new cells that you produce. Therefore, following on, transforming your body into a, you know, into a natural, you know, into a naturally improved state, you know, whether that be thinner, but, you know, just generally healthier. So when you think about the eating, like the Gabriel method friendly foods we're getting you to have, you know, we're always talking about, you know, the highest quality nutrient rich foods available. So you're feeding the cell exactly what it needs. So, you know, that's why you're putting that food into you. When you're drinking, you know, if you drink like pure, unpolluted, fresh water, you know, you're allowing your body to detoxify and just provide, you know, a medium of exchange for all of these chemical reactions, you know, that are required for your body to produce energy and burn fat, so you need to put them in. And then when you're doing the thinking bit about the, you know, the statement you are what you eat, drink, and think, the thinking bit is the visualizations. And, you know, those visualizations create hormones, and, you know, those hormones speak directly to the cells and tell the cells, you know, what to do, you know, whether to be, you know, healthy or not. So doing the visualizations and just producing that real positive chemistry that flows into your environment and influences yourself, you know, you're in total control. I suppose this is the point. You're in total control of what you're doing. And if you follow those principles, they're following a very set natural law, and the effect can be extremely positive for you.
Brian, that's excellent. And I just want to add to that what you're saying, because Bruce Lipton, who we interviewed last year, who wrote the book The Biology of the Beliefs, is a truly brilliant speaker and a molecular biologist. He totally turned cellular biology inside out, literally, when he made the point that the nucleus of the cell, everyone thought the nucleus of the cell where the DNA is, that the DNA is the command center of the cell, but he was able to demonstrate that the DNA is not the command center of the cell. As a matter of fact, you could take the DNA out of a cell and it'll function perfectly well for up to 2 months doing everything that a cell can do except replicating. So all the DNA is basically it's a warehouse for spare parts. When the parts of the cell break down, then they need, you know, a new enzyme, a new protein. Then you go to the DNA, it's like blueprints to recreate the spare parts for the cell. That's what the DNA is. It's not the command center of the cell. You can take the DNA out. DNA completely out, and the cell will function properly. Now, we have this idea that we're genetically meant to be fatter. It's in our genes. Mm. You can take your genes out of your cells, and your cells will still function for at least for up to 2 months, and they just won't be able to replicate. Now, what is the command center of the cell? Well, according to Bruce Lipton, he was able to demonstrate this really well. The command center of the cell is the outer lining of the cell that interacts with its environment. That's the command center of the cell, because when the environment gives the cell certain signals, and based on those signals, the cell is going to activate parts of the DNA. It's going to activate different enzymes, hormones, etc., decide how much fat it should have, whatever it's doing, it's going to do based on the environment. Now, that environment, which you just rightly pointed out, is totally something we have complete control over. The environment is your blood, and we have control over our blood based on the thoughts that we think, because they're going to create hormonal reactions. Like when you talk to Jill Hogan, when she was in fear all the time, there was hormonal reactions that were changing the environment of her blood. Now she's not in fear anymore, so her environment has been changed, so her cells are changed. The water you're drinking, the omega-3 fatty acids, they all interact with the outside layer of the cell and the environment. It makes everything function smoother. So everything we're doing is changing the environment that the cell's in, and that's changing your cells. You can be a totally new body, like you say. Within months, you have a totally new body, including the brain cells, apparently, by the way, Brian, it turns out. And it's just a function of the environment that it's in. So I love that point, and that is 100% right.
Yeah. So what I'm doing, you know, when I'm thinking of my own health, all I think about when I'm putting my food in or drinking or doing, you know, specifically the, you know, the visualizations, I just think I'm just creating a healthy environment for myself. And
yeah.
You know, and just to break it down, I just think of those, you know, 50 trillion little guys all encased in Brian, and I'm, you know, responsible for them. So.
That's perfect. I'd like to do a visualization just of that, as a matter of fact. You know, just cleaning the environment and having that nourish your cells and have your cells be at an optimal level. Because that's really what it comes down to. It's the environment. I love that point. So,
yeah.
Brian, thanks for sharing that.
No worries, guys. Okay. Have a good night.
All right. You too. Let's keep moving. I want to catch Desiree. She only has a couple of minutes before she leaves. So let's just bring Desiree on real quickly.
Hey,
Coach
John.
Desiree. Hey, Desiree. How you doing?
Hey. Pretty good. Pretty good. Good to speak to you. And thanks for everybody who's listening in at the moment. Yeah.
What's happening?
Yeah, listen. A lot is happening. And the funny thing is that the thing that I wanted to talk about is what Brian has just explained so wonderfully. I didn't have the research that he did, but it is true. This is what I encounter with a lot of people that I talk to who tell me I won't be able to do it. I love the people that come on to the group meeting, but I will never be able. And then we discuss what they have done over the past month, and they have shown so many wins that they're not even aware of. So it is true, and it's also true what you said, what Jill just said. There is no out there out there. So however you feel inside or on the outside world. There's very little I can add to what Brian has just said, but I do have one more thing that I would love to share, and that's what I've been teaching the people I work with recently, and that's having an attitude of gratitude. And I've started reading the book The Magic by Rhonda Byrne, who's all about deepening your feeling of gratitude. And whenever you're able to turn things around into an attitude of gratitude, then that is what will show up in your world. So maybe that's a nice addition to all the things that Jill and Brian and yourself have just talked about. You don't necessarily have to go out and buy the book, but just simply to look at things from a gratitude point of view makes such a big difference. It is very good exercise to calm yourself down. Even in bad situations, think of 10 things that are good about the so-called bad situation, and you will feel the energy turn around, and you become more calm, and things will change for the better.
I think you're right. I totally think, my father used to say, he is truly happy who rejoices in his portion. That was his kind of like thing. But really what it means is when you have appreciation, which is gratitude and appreciation, it's impossible to feel negative emotions, stress, fear, all these things when you're feeling gratitude. Gratitude is a positive emotion, and when your mind's focused on gratitude, you're generating positive chemistry in your body, positive hormones in your blood that's changing the environment and your cells on a cellular level. So looking for ways to really, really have, you know, and it's so easy too to, when something goes wrong, because you know, for me, if I'm not careful, I have a little bit of a back problem if I don't do yoga or something on a regular basis. And when that back problem flares up, boy, you know, just being able to walk around and bend down and function not in pain, I have just so much gratitude for that. You know, I can't, you know, but you forget real quickly. Only for me, it comes back quick enough that I don't forget anymore. So just moving around and feeling great, I have so much gratitude for that.
Yeah, it is such a fun exercise. And the book goes on there's little chores that you can do throughout the day. One of them, the tips that she gives is find 10 things to be grateful about every day. Mm. And it's funny how easy it is to come up with at least 10 things that you're grateful about. And that really does change your energy around. And this is just one example of how you can and calm down and get your cortisol levels down, because it is all about stress and the chemical reactions. Sorry, go on.
It's a very powerful example, actually, Desiree. And not only that, you think about doing it every day for, you know, 10, think of 10 things a day, but what happens is it becomes a habit. And then you start rewiring, this is what we're talking about, rewiring your brain circuitry toward more positive emotions. And that's what happens, because our brains function where the more, whatever it is that you're doing, you're gonna create a habit. It could be a good thing or a bad thing. Doesn't matter. Our brains are like flypaper. It just sticks. Whatever you do sticks. So making an effort to do something that is positive then gets easier and easier. It sticks. It becomes a positive habit. So thinking of 10 things first thing in the morning to be grateful for is life changing. No question about it.
It is, especially with the information that Brian has just given us. If you know that you're renewing yourself every day, then renew them with vibrancy and health and happiness and positive thoughts. It's that easy. Funnily enough, it is that easy.
Absolutely. Okay, yeah. I'll let you go, because I know you got to run, Desiree.
Yeah. Okay, thank you so much. And thank you again, everybody, for joining in.
Okay,
it's such a pleasure.
Desiree.
Okay, bye-bye.
Take care. Bye. And just to continue on with what Desiree was saying about it being that easy. So I'm sort of obviously, I'm living proof that, and there's many others now, thousands of others all over the world that are proof that it is possible to totally, totally transform your body. But I think the reason why we get this idea that it's not possible is because we've tried to do it the same way over and over again. And I always use the analogy that it's a little bit like trying to walk through a glass door that's closed. And that's what trying to lose weight by dieting, and rather than working with your body, changing your body's chemistry just through brute force, is a little bit like trying to walk through a glass window or a sliding glass door that's closed. If you don't know that there's a door there, you're seeing through it, you think you should be able to walk through, but you bang your head every time, bang your head every time, bang your head every time, because you're violating your body's natural survival instinct. So eventually you get to this point where you just form the conclusion that's not possible. But doing it the right way by changing your body's chemistry through your thoughts, actions, beliefs, the foods you're eating, etc., is a little bit like opening up the sliding glass door, and then it's as easy as walking through a sliding glass door that's open. And that's what Jill said first thing. That's what I'm saying. That's what people say once it happens. Now, it can be a struggle to get to the place where you really, really have changed your chemistry. And that's why we're here, and that's why we're doing this type of 6-month intensive type of work. And so it's natural to feel frustrated when it's not happening, but once it happens, it happens. It's just that simple. Okay, so let's just touch base with a couple of the other coaches real quick. We also have we've got Smita and Mary Lane here. So let's just bring Smita in if we can and have a quick chat with her, please.
Hello.
Yeah, hi,
Smita.
Hello,
hi, John. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, good. Good. What's happening in your neck of the woods?
Well, a lot of month recalls starting to happen now, so getting to know what people are going through right now. So main positives are that people are feeling a lot more calmer, more focused. Their cravings are going down. And I'm not sure that they're seeing that much weight loss yet. Some are seeing some weight loss, but others are just feeling much more better internally. The capacity for stress has for dealing with stress has changed, so they're much more able, as Jill was saying, to deal with stress.
Right. So this is a really important point that you're bringing up, Smita, and that is that when you're seeing these signs where you have more energy, more clarity, more focus, you're calmer, you feel safer, your chemistry is changing, but it does take time. And that amount of time is different for everybody. But when those things are happening, your blood is changing, your hormones are changing, your chemistry is changing, and then it could take a little bit of time, but you get to the place where your insulin levels are lower, your brain's more sensitive to the hormone leptin, which we haven't spoke much about, but is a really important hormone, and I'm going to try to talk a little bit about it in this call if we have time. Otherwise, we'll do it on the next one, and we'll start talking about it on the next one. But these chemical changes take place, and then once that happens, you do start losing weight. But it's not about losing 20 pounds in 20 days. It's really about changing, putting habits in place, which is what we're doing, to change your body's mm-hmm. chemistry forever. And the biggest one, again, as Jill says, she's religious about her visualization. And that to me permeates so many aspects of your health and your body that I can't emphasize that enough.
Yeah, definitely. So also, some of them have taken up cellular release as well, so they're starting to see the benefits of that. And you can see the changes that they're making, the transformation is starting to happen, like they're being able to exercise and they haven't wanted to before, or they're changing areas of their lives, such as their career or parts of their environment, where they live. So it's great to see that happen, and you can even if you can't see them, you can feel the changes in their voices.
Yeah.
So it's very rewarding and very encouraging and inspiring to hear these things.
Excellent. Okay, great. All right. Well, thanks for joining the call, and keep up the great work, Samina. Thanks very much. Let's bring in one more coach, and then I'll start answering questions from people. But remember, if you want to talk, if you have a question, you have to press 1 to ask a question. So let's bring Mary Lane in, please.
Hey, John.
Hi, Mary Lane. How are you?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
I'm great. Thank you. How are you?
I'm really good, thanks. What's happening?
Good. Well, a lot of things are happening. People are having some great experiences. Shall I read you one? Would that
Absolutely.
Be good?
Absolutely.
I'm going to translate, because this is a Dutch client, actually. So I'm going to translate from Dutch to English, okay, as I go along.
I would appreciate that very much. Otherwise, it's going to be meaningless to most of us, so.
She says, well, it seems like science fiction, but I stopped gaining weight, and then I started losing it. So I was weighing about 89 kilos, and now I'm weighing 92.5 kilos. Because I was so used to only achieving this result by dieting, it was really, really strange to have this happen. And it's also really cool, of course. I was running and almost lost my pants. It just went down. So she's actually getting used to losing the weight. And, you know, the funny thing is that there is a part of us, apparently, that's so used to only getting this result by dieting that when it happens, it's kind of hard to accept.
Yeah. That's exactly my point. I'm sorry?
Yeah. Well, I think that's – how funny is that? So you have this result, but still your mind is going, is this real?
Because
I have – sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, it's not just funny. It's very, like, as I was saying, there's a definite reason for it, because every time you try to lose weight the wrong way, then you're going to – it's like banging your head against a glass door. So you are going to eventually – form the opinion that you're not meant to lose weight, and then when it reverses, you're shocked. Actually, you know, it's like you know, to me, it's like this. It's like, you know, back in the 80s when they were, you know, when Russia, you know, that when the wall was up and you couldn't escape from Russia, and it was and every once in a while there'd be somebody would escape from Russia and they'd fly to New York and they'd get into the cab. And they think, you know, they think that the cab driver was a Russian spy, you know, and then they go to their hotel and they think the hotel manager is a Russian spy. Like they're just waiting and they're waiting for the Russian spy to come and say, no, you got to come back. You know, they can't believe that they've been set free. And, it's a little bit like that, you know, you're waiting, you're like, well, there's something wrong here. Why is it so easy? Why is this happening this way? And I think it's the same type of thing. You're waiting for that thing to happen, but eventually, You get used to it, you understand it, and you accept it.
That's a bit like, because I was talking to someone else, and she says, okay, so it's working. And then my mind says, why is it working? And, you know, it's not supposed to work and stuff like that. And I like to use a little clip from, it's very old, actually. When you go on YouTube and you just put in the words, stop it, you'll get a really funny clip from this guy called Bob Newhart. He's a comedian.
And yeah, I know Bob Newhart. The Bob Newhart,
you know,
show. I used to love that show. I love that show.
Yeah. He's playing a psychiatrist, and he's a, about to work with someone that has all kinds of really irrational fears.
Yeah,
so she wants
I think
to
his
talk
name is
about
Elliot.
His name.
The guy who he always had this one client named Elliot who was just really messed up. But anyway.
Okay, it's a really good clip to watch because then you can get to see what the mind does is to come up with all these irrational beliefs.
Yeah.
And really it's all about stopping it, not paying attention to it, and rather, you know, do a nice mantra or an affirmation, something that works instead of something that keeps holding you back, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So I think a lot of people are just coping with that. The mind is giving this negativity, and how do you change that? Because in this is a whole process of awareness to me. More people become aware of things they are not aware of before. Stress is one of those things because I think stress is like a slow killer. You don't know you have it until you know you get conscious of it.
The problem is it permeates so many aspects of our health. It's unbelievable. So working through stress the way we're doing it just helps in every aspect of health. Yeah. Okay, cool. Well, keep up the great work. It's great to hear from you.
Thank you.
And,
thank you for working with me. It's great to work with you.
My pleasure. You going to come out and join us again in Kiama this year?
Oh, when are you going?
It's March.
It's March. Hmm.
Yeah, beginning of March.
I'm going to think definitely. Yeah, I'm going to say
right.
Yes, John. I'm going to be there.
Good.
Yeah, why
good.
Not?
All right, well, let's talk some more about it because, all right, good. I'd love to have you again.
Oh, thanks. I'd love to be there. It was a great experience. I can, you know, tell everyone, come. If you're able to come, because it's a great experience.
Yeah, Kiama is just such a treat. It really is. 3 days, we just go deeper and deeper. It's a really cool experience.
Yeah.
And then the gala dinner at the end. I just love Kiama.
Me too. Well, I'll definitely be there.
All right, good. Well, send me an email. Let's talk some more. And send me an email from just the email that you just read. Just forward that over to me too, please, if you don't mind, in a translated version.
I will.
Okay.
I'll do
all
that.
All right. Thanks.
Okay.
Thanks very much, Marilyn.
See ya.
Okay. Take care.
Bye.
All right. Let's. We got a couple of people that have some questions. So let's see if we can start taking this. So we've got Irene from Melbourne with a question. And again, once again, if you have any questions, press 1. Irene, are you there?
Yes, hi. Hello?
Hi, Irene.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, John. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. I was just listening and having a realization, actually.
Yeah.
I did have a question. I was listening. I can't remember if it was at a group meeting or an interview that you did, and you talked to somebody about a visualization for pain relief.
Yeah.
And so I was wondering whether you've actually got one or whether there's one in the pipeworks.
There's one in the pipeline, right? That's one of my next ones. We might even do that as one of our regular, we do these regular visualizations on a monthly basis. We might make that one for the next month. But a couple of people have asked me for that. So I think that's a great idea. And so that's going to be one of the next visualizations that we do.
Oh, that would be great.
I've
got another couple of small questions.
Sure. Before you do, Irene, Shannon and Aaron, can you just make a note of that? That I want to record that pain relief visualization this week. Thanks. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you, John. I've been seeing when I've been out shopping that some places are stocking black and white chia seeds.
Yeah.
Are you able to tell me what the difference is, if any, between them? Is it best to get
mixed?
I
think it's splitting hairs. I really do. I don't pay too much attention to that. I know there's an argument about what one's better than the other, but I don't think it's too much. I do think though that it is important to either soak your chia seeds or grind your chia seeds. For a long time, I didn't grind my chia seeds because I thought that, you know, your body could break them down, but they can't. I looked one time. so to speak, without being too graphic. I looked one time, and I can tell you that the chia seeds do not get broken down. They just go right through you. So whether they're black or white, you do want to you do want to grind them up.
Grind them. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So that's what I've been doing wrong. Okay.
Well, I was doing it wrong for a long time, and I read people saying that you know you're supposed to grind your chia seeds, and I thought no, they're not like flax seeds. They don't have this hard exterior, but the reality is they do have enough what's called enzyme inhibitors that stop you from breaking them down. So. It's definitely worth to grind them.
Okay, that's a good tip. I'll try that. And my other question was, because I'm a case study member, and
yes.
I noticed that the support group has a forum, but the case study doesn't.
Yeah.
Is there likely to be a change in that in the future?
I think there is already. I think we've put together something, but it's not going to be. We wanted it to be a little bit more casual than a forum. It's sort of like a place where, you know, like a question and answer area that where you could put in questions, and then also we can have specific times where there's live interaction of Q&A. So I'm pretty sure that's in place in the case study area. If it's not, it's going to be there very quickly.
Oh, okay.
So,
I hadn't noticed it, so I might have to look again.
Yeah, have another quick look, and I'll double check when I get off the line. But I know that's something we've been working on. But it's not going to be a forum in terms of like different topics and different threads.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be sort of like a running stream of question and answer, because it's a much smaller group, the case study group, and I want it to be just much easier to, because most questions apply to everybody, and then so I want to make it a much more kind of intimate type of thing.
Yeah, I was just curious because it would be nice to connect with some of the other people and on an informal,
sure,
casual basis.
Sure.
So that's
sure
why I asked. And lastly, congratulations on the ebook for the iPad. I recently got it. I think it's great.
You're talking about the recipe book or the regular book?
The recipe book.
Yeah, I think they did a great job. The people that worked on it did an absolutely fabulous job on that. I'm really happy with that. But what was your question?
I was just going to say I had a bit of a chuckle because the genre under which they put it is labeled a special diet.
Yeah.
even though that's everything you go against.
Yeah, yeah. Special diet. That's interesting. That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway,
cool.
Thank you very much for your time, John.
My pleasure. My pleasure. All right. Well, let's keep in touch. And don't forget to call me during my office hours if you have any questions. That goes to everybody, by the way. Call me during my office hours. Let's talk. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Irene. Take care. All right. Let's take Elizabeth from Holland. And once again, if you have any questions, press 1. We're running out of time kind of quickly, but if you have questions, now's the time. Just press 1. So let's take Elizabeth. Elizabeth, are you there? Okay, Aaron, do we have Elizabeth? Okay. All right, I don't know what happened to Elizabeth. So there's just a couple of things. We just have a few minutes left, and I just wanted to talk a little bit about kind of just get the science of the fat programs. Just a little bit about a hormone that I haven't really spoken much about, but I'm going to speak a lot about it, and that's the hormone leptin. And leptin is sort of the master hormone that controls the fat programs. And I've never really talked about it, only because I thought it was too complicated, really, for people to understand. But I've come up with a really, really I've come up with a really kind of easy way of explaining leptin and how it interacts with the fat program. So I'm going to lead into it now, and we're going to talk some more about it over the next couple of calls, because understanding leptin is really understanding the fat programs, and it's really understanding how your body works in terms of weight. So we've got this hormone called leptin. We've got this hormone called leptin that is produced by our fat cells. It was only just discovered in 1994, and it's produced by our fat cells, and it tells your brain how fat you are. So the more fat you have on your body, the more leptin you produce. So this leptin, so the fat cells produce the leptin, it swims through your bloodstream, and then it goes to your brain. And there's a part of your brain that measures this, and when you have too much leptin, your brain goes, oh, we've got too much weight on our body, and that's basically how your brain knows how much fat you have. So then when your brain registers that you're carrying too much fat, then it does a whole bunch of different things. It signals to your stomach to not be that hungry, to your taste buds to not crave sweet foods, to your thyroid to speed up, to your liver to start burning fat. And in this way, you start losing weight very, very quickly when your leptin levels are too high. You lose weight very, very quickly and very easily and effortlessly because basically your body doesn't want that much weight on it. So that's leptin. Now, when your fat programs get activated, what happens is you develop a leptin resistance. Leptin resistance, and then maybe in the next call we'll talk about why you develop leptin resistance when your fat programs are on. But just for this call, leptin resistance means that your brain, in essence, is not able to hear the hormone leptin. So in a sense, what happens is it's like your brain becomes deaf to leptin, and your brain thinks that it's getting an inaccurate read of how fat you are, of how much weight you have on your body. And leptin resistance can get so severe that your brain can't hear leptin at all and basically thinks that you're starving to death. And you could have 200 extra pounds of weight on your body, such as I did years ago, and your brain thinks you've got zero fat on your body. That's what's happening for a lot of people. And that's why, you know, when you go to a doctor, you just say, eat less. No. There's a lot more going on than just eat less. You got to know how leptin resistant you are, and then more importantly, you got to know what's causing the leptin resistance and how to reverse it. And these are things that we're going to talk about over the next couple of months in some of these classes. But basically, what happens when your fat programs get activated is you become leptin resistant, and it can be by degrees. You can be a little bit leptin resistant or a lot leptin resistant. The more leptin resistant you are, the more weight you're gonna have on your body, and it can get to the point where, like I say, you can have hundreds of pounds of extra weight on your body, and your brain acts as if you're starving to death. Now, when you're in that situation where your brain thinks you've got zero fat on your body and you're starving to death, and you go on a diet, it just makes the whole thing worse. Because now you really are starving, and that's why it's so hard to lose weight by just willpower and brute force and not addressing your leptin resistance. It's so hard because your body's going to be fighting you. That's the walking through the glass door. You got to understand leptin. You got to understand leptin resistance. Now, when you're able to reverse leptin resistance, it's truly miraculous what happens, because your brain basically goes, oh, my God, where'd all this extra fat come from? And your brain starts doing all these things to cause you to lose weight. It's like all of a sudden you wake up one day and your brain thinks you've got zero fat on your body and you're starving to death. You wake up one day and you've got 200 pounds of extra weight, or 50 pounds or 30 pounds or whatever it is of extra weight. Your brain goes, oh, my God, where did all this fat come from? How did it happen? And you start losing weight. That's what we're doing, and we're going to talk about in some of these group classes. I really want you to understand this because it'll help put everything all together. We're going to talk about, as over the next couple of months, why we get this leptin resistance and what to do about how to reverse it. That's what we're talking about. When we're talking about turning off the fat programs, we're talking about reversing leptin resistance. Now, it has to be a mind-body approach, because as you're going to learn, as we'll learn over the next coming months, certain hormones that are involved in the stress response, the emotional stress response, those hormones cause leptin resistance. Now, if you're not going to address the emotional component, you're not addressing the hormonal signals that are causing leptin resistance. So that's basically what we're going to be focusing on and what I need you to understand, and we will talk about that over the next coming calls. So in the meantime, what I would like you to do, a lot of you are starting month 3 and month 4. Some of you are just starting the case study right now. It doesn't matter. One of the benefits of the case study is that you can call in and talk to me during my office hours. I want to talk to you. You know, some people call in, they go, okay, I'm just going to be really, really quick. I just have a question. Call in and talk to me. Whatever it is, don't worry about it. I want to talk. I want to help you work through this. That's what this whole program is. I want to do everything I can to help you get past this point where your body thinks it's getting an inaccurate read of how much weight you have, where it thinks that you might be starving when in reality you've got extra weight, where we reverse this leptin resistance, turn off these fat programs. I want to help you do it in every way possible. Please call in and talk to me. So that's it for this call. I appreciate your time. I appreciate you coming online, and I appreciate you being in this case study with us. So I look forward to speaking with you real soon, and thanks very much. Take care, everybody.